Greetings, dear, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. This episode is also brought to you by an app that I created called Still Believe. Still Believe transforms a picture in your home into video proof of your child's favorite magical characters. With the app, parents can catch the magic of the Tooth Fairy, leaving money under their children's pillow, or Santa delivering presents on Christmas Eve in their home. You download the app, take a picture, and we create the magic. We utilize feature film visual effects artists to transform your picture into video. Just tell your kids that you have a special app that can detect and capture the Tooth Fairy, then present them with the video proof in the morning. The look on their faces is priceless. Your Still Believe video is created in minutes, and you can then save it to your phone and share it on social media. The app is available for the iPhone and Android, and it's free to download. Our aim is to bring joy and wonder into the hearts of children around the world. Check it out at stillbelieve.co. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was rubbing his
Sexual
toenails at his desk.
I
can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Matty K.
And John, welcome, 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 everyone.
And this time of year, I think of, or right now I'm thinking of peaches, and that's probably because the word impeachment has come up so much. And I always thought that had something to do with peaches, but apparently it doesn't.
So as soon as you see the news, you run out to the store and buy, like, 12 peaches?
Well, I thought that's, I don't know, do they throw peaches at Donald Trump once they impeach him? Is that
I think
how
it's
works?
Like, I think it's rotten peaches that are thrown.
So peaches are involved some way, shape, or form, I guess. So Donald J. Trump, our...
But by the way, I hope you are drilling that into your class, the peaches impeachment.
I said that as a joke one time because many years ago, when William J. Clinton was the subject of an impeachment, a kid, this I was teaching sixth grade, and they were like, what does impeachment mean? I said, well, back in the old days, they used to tie the person to a chair and throw peaches at him. And they were like, and I actually noticed a kid writing it down. I was like, no. Like, they're going to go home and tell their
yeah,
parents
Mommy,
that.
Mr. Kerr said that a president will get peaches thrown at him at the impeachment process.
Yeah. And I remember my roommate at the time, Chris, he was like, you could tell them anything. And they'll just believe you. You're the tallest person in the room. I'm like, yeah.
We have to get this, like, trending on Reddit. Like,
peaches.
Hashtag peaches.
Yeah.
So people show up and start throwing peaches at him.
Well, we could just get a picture of Donald Trump and throw peaches at it. How about that? That'd be a good one.
He did you see him at? He attended the fifth game of the World Series,
and he
was booed. He looked. Yeah. He was like the look on his face. He was like stomping his feet.
And they were chanting, "Lock him up."
Yes,
but you know, I mean, we're going to focus on Trump and the impeachment, but people like him amaze me because they don't, you know, there's that biblical expression, you reap what you sow. He does not seem
right.
to, and there are many, many people who do not understand or refuse, like they cheat on their spouse kicks them out of the house, and then they complain about how their spouse is being about this. Like they have no conception of how their actions have repercussions. They just think they shouldn't have repercussions.
Well, I mean, Trump is the classic case of like to say that his ego is of utmost importance is an understatement.
Oh, you can't even quantify his ego. I mean, it's
and he's got, you know, he's got no filter. I mean, he is clearly in the presidency to enrich himself and his family. There's just, it's so blatant. And when he's caught in the act, what's brilliant about what he does, and he's done this on many different occasions, and he's doing that with the impeachment process, is Donald Trump never really goes on the defensive. He touches on the defensive. He might give a kind of a bullshit apology, but then he immediately turns it around and attacks and goes on the offense. That's why people love him.
I wouldn't even give him the credit of a bullshit apology. I mean, he doesn't. He said, he was asked if he ever went to confession, and he said no because I've never done anything wrong. Like, he really believes that.
Yeah, but when he was caught in the whole, during the election process, when he was caught in the grab him by.
Like, he's sort of right.
He gave it was a half-assed apology, but what he did at the next debate is he invited, I think it was like 8 or 10 of the women who accused Clinton
right.
of, you know, just a laundry
assault,
list of stuff.
Yeah.
And he then went on the offensive and basically said, look, I just said this stuff. Her husband, Bill Clinton, actually did this stuff. So boom, he just turned the coin.
Right. But he himself has been accused by what, 23
women?
Of course. And I'm
but
sure
he doesn't even give that any weight.
No.
He just, do you know what I mean?
Right.
He'll automatically go on the offensive. He's been schooled and trained by, you know, psychologists, or he can play the media and a crowd. I mean, when you listen to him, it is just, I can't even listen to him.
It's gobbledygook.
He's talking at like a third grade or fourth grade level, and that doesn't mean you have to talk at like a, you know, an unbelievably intelligent level to get your point across. But it's like, he's the president of the United States. Like, you got to do a little bit better than that. Just a touch.
He gets up there and he makes fun of people's names. Like, the way their names sound. And his crowd is laughing. And it's like, who is the bigger idiot here? Him or the people who are laughing at these stupid jokes? And just, oh my God, they just... The people who sit behind him at rallies, who you see when he's talking.
God, I love those
and
people.
And they're laughing it up and just, oh, it's so funny. Oh, he made fun of Amanda Yates. Not Amanda Yates. Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, like Ocasio-Cortez.
He does these stupid pronunciation of their names, and they're all laughing. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, even... You know, teaching like middle school, they wouldn't be laughing at that. They wouldn't think it was funny. They'd be like, "That's pretty lame. You should be able to do better than that if you're going to make fun."
Yeah,
of
but
someone.
he's grabbing the attention of the crowd, and then he's also grabbing the attention of the press. It's almost like you can't look away. It's the reason why we're talking about him right now.
Well, and then he's baffled. I think genuinely baffled when he shows up at a baseball game and people boo him and chant.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. He's a deer in headlights.
I can do these things. I can make fun of people. I can make fun of mentally challenged people. I can make fun of people who have physical disabilities. I can make fun of John McCain. You know, I've never been able to square. Most Republican people, conservatives, are fairly pro-military. And if you put to them, John McCain, I didn't really agree with him politically, but he's a genuine war hero. A lot of respect for him. How they square Donald Trump, who's a draft dodger, who got his father to get him deferments four times because of bone spurs in his heels. How they square that in their minds, him disrespecting that man, I just can't understand how.
Oh, they've sold their soul down the river. I think it's becoming to like a breaking point.
Yeah, well, we've been to all these breaking points before. We've been to all these breaking points.
Yeah, but it's now he's slowly pushing. I don't think that with the whole impeachment, I think he's gonna wiggle his way out.
I don't think
he probably
won't be thrown out of office. He probably will not be. Will he be reelected after all this? I don't know. I mean,
I think Donald Trump absolutely loves these rallies when he can get up in front of a podium and spew his crap. I think he despises everything else that has to do with the presidency.
Oh, absolutely.
The actual work. I think he would want he would want someone to run the government for him, and then he can take all the credit for it, and then he could just tour the country and spew out how great America is.
What's that called? Like a COO, like operations officer or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like he'll say how great America is, and then, you know, there's nothing that Americans can't do or America can't do if they put their mind to it. And then in the next breath, he destroys things and how we can't, you know, offer universal health to everybody. And, you know, he tears everything down, reasons why we can't do stuff. He's a walking contradiction.
Well, there's nothing to the man. I mean,
there's no filter.
There, you know.
When he was with the whole Ukraine thing, and I think we discussed this on another podcast, the next day in a press conference, he not only admitted to it, but then suggested that China should join the fight into looking into Biden.
Right.
He admitted to it.
Right.
And he's got no filter.
I would like to. I don't really know any Trump supporters personally, but I would like to ask.
Then
ask them. You think it's okay for a president? You would think it was okay for Barack Obama. Barack Obama was vilified for offering to speak to Iran, vilified by the Republicans. So, a Donald Trump supporter thinks it's okay. It's acceptable, perfectly acceptable, for the President of the United States to reach out to a foreign power to interfere in our elections. This is not Russia. There's no question of collusion or anything like that. He admitted it. He said it. And I one of those specific questions, you think it's, not you, but a Donald Trump supporter thinks that's okay. They're fine with that. No problem. I mean, what's the answer to that question? Yes, I'm okay with that. Like, but you don't want Mexicans coming into our country. You want to build a wall for that. But you're okay with the president of Ukraine basically getting paid in the form of military aid to investigate the Bidens. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but I don't know how they would respond.
Brilliant question. Actually, brilliant. I should probably I should be on one of those panels that moderates, you know.
But when you look at how he has enriched, I mean, the Ukraine thing is just one thing. But for instance, like it was a couple of months ago, and it was in the news with the Saudi Arabia military contract. It was worth billions of dollars, and as this was going on, the Saudis were coming over and staying in Trump hotels, I think in D.C., in New York, spending lavishly to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then they're awarded the contract, you know, it's a couple billion dollars. And we know that Saudi Arabia, is it Yemen that they're
they're involved
destroying
with the
families and lives and the genocide?
Yeah.
So we're selling them weapons to continue that. And good old Donnie T is profiting from this.
Well, I think, and that's just one instance. I mean, his daughter has been using the presidency for her brands. I mean, these people, they're
like... when you look at, like, Jimmy Carter had an effing peanut farm.
Right.
And they made him sell that off because they wanted, you know, no possibility of him being influenced by a foreign power. A peanut farm!
Right. I know. And I mean... these things are just tips of the iceberg. This family is like a, they're like a military. I mean, it's a good thing our government was set up specifically to deal with situations like this, because trying to get somebody out of office is very difficult, and it should be. If we are able to just pull people out of office at will, that is chaos. So I don't disagree with the process at all. I don't think he will probably be ousted from office. He probably shouldn't be on a practical level. You know, he should just get voted out. But there has to be some public acknowledgement of what this family... They're like this Russian, you know, like... This is like the time of the czars, you know, the pre-communist era. Like, it's just...
Oh, it's crazy. The process is... infuriatingly slow, but it's done for a reason.
It's got to be.
Because there's so many checks and balances built into the system that, you know, you could look at it and be like, oh, this takes so much time, but it's done for a reason because, you know, it limits the damage that can be done by one individual.
Well, if it becomes too easy, then, you know, you end up with, I don't know, you could name a lot of countries in the world where it seems like there's a new leader every 6 months. You know, one person overthrows the other, and it's chaos. And you end up...
Well, I mean, and then nothing would get done.
Nothing
like,
would
if
ever
we
get
could
done.
Vote in and out members of the House, the Senate, I mean, it would just... How could you pass legislation? I mean, right now, it's infuriatingly slow, and these idiots are in there for years. What is it? Is it a four-year term or six-year term? What
Senators, it's 6 years, yeah.
6 years, yeah.
No, but you do need some stability. I mean, you need somebody in there who can do... I mean, as it is, they spend half their time working on their re-election. Washington is infuriating, but, like, things do need to be deliberated and they need to be legislated. But, like, this has been... I was looking at an article about his military officers. And, you know, they just apparently can't stand him. And his leadership has been described as impulsive, that he disdains expertise, that he gets his intelligence and makes decisions on what he sees on Fox News. And it's like, how is anybody supposed to do their job? I mean, I know somebody who works for the Department of Energy, and she said it is so demoralizing. Like, nobody knows what to do. There's no policy. There aren't people in positions. Literally, offices are vacant because he doesn't care. Like, he probably doesn't even really remember the Department of Energy exists. He doesn't think about it. Like, it's office, the military, like, I don't know, just go
in
and
bomb.
Well,
I think he'll say something in public or tweet something, and then... he can do, like, in the background, he can do exactly the opposite of what he tweeted or said. There's no repercussions.
I don't think he remembers. I mean, honestly, if you asked him about, like, some policy he was setting, which he does via tweet, he sets military policy via tweet without consulting anybody.
Which is brilliant.
And then wouldn't even remember it. Wouldn't even, like, what? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, it's just, what's what he said about, he's, oh, we're pulling out of Afghanistan. We defeated everyone, and we're not out of Afghanistan. We're still in Afghanistan.
Right. And then pulling out of Syria, which was turning into a absolute disaster, and then reversing
course on that.
Well, what did he say?
Didn't we kill...
Yeah, what, the leader of ISIS.
The leader of ISIS, and yeah. His quote was, he was crying and whimpering or something like that?
Yeah, and then one of the military advisors said, well, I don't know where he got that information from, and then just kind of moved on, because it's like, how do you filter what this guy says? Like, he doesn't know that. No one told him that. He just made it up.
And also, too, he's putting the lives of American military men and women in risk around the world.
Careless.
I mean, if ISIS is going to hear this and be like, oh, we're going to capture an American and make them torture them.
Yeah, he doesn't think in those terms. It's just, they killed the guy. Big win for me is how he put it. Not for America.
Big win for Donnie T.
Yeah, for me. It's all about him. And I get the feeling that working for this guy is, you know, with his organization before he became president and all that, it's just kind of a nightmare. Like, you never know what he's going to do. And he likes it. He claims he likes it like that. Like, it's a deliberate choice. I honestly think he just suffers from the narcissism, severe ADD. He can't focus on anything. He watches television all the time. That's how he gets all
his
news. Well,
I mean, what Republican president in history, any president, Democrat or Republican, has picked a fight with the intelligence community? With the FBI, the CIA, and trying to systematically undermine them. Who does that?
Well, because he says it's the deep state and they're working against him and blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, he is, as you say, enriching himself off of every decision he seems to make. And, you know.
Well, remember the famous picture of Donnie T sitting in his office? I believe it was in Trump Towers, and he had like a Mexican bowl in front of him. Remember that? Remember when he said that disparaging comment about Mexicans, that they were all rapists and murderers?
Yeah.
So then, you know, I guess his PR team decided to put old Donnie behind his desk and put a Mexican fajita bowl in front of him. Do you remember this?
Like from Chipotle or something.
Right. And his caption was, I love Mexicans, because he's eating Mexican food.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the this was discovered probably months later, and you can look this up on the internet. Off in the off of his left-hand shoulder was an open draw with countless boxes of Sudafed. Now, Sudafed is I kind of know this from working on Breaking Bad. So if you go Sudafed. One of the chemical components in Sudafed is used to make meth. So it's an upper. So if you take Sudafed in high quantities, you're getting, it's an upper. So the theory is Donald Trump is tripping on some serious uppers.
Well, it sounds like we may be trafficking in some conspiracy theories here now, which I don't generally sign off on the Working Experience
Hey,
podcast,
listen, anything's open. Look at the picture.
That's right. Look at the picture. It's on the internet. It's right. Well, I had heard...
No, it's not Photoshopped.
There were people who worked on The Apprentice who claimed he was popping Adderalls a lot, which is for ADD, for, you know, I mean, if he was popping Adderall, you'd think he'd be more focused. I don't know. But
it makes to me, it makes a lot of sense for someone his age. What is he, 73 or 74?
Yeah.
He's got, to his credit, right? He's got an unbelievable amount of energy. Like, his schedule is insane. Like, how does, and he's generally not in good shape. He doesn't work out. He has an affinity for fast food. He's in terrible shape. But yet, this guy can, you know, fly to Idaho, give a speech, get back, and sleep 2 hours a night.
His doctor said he'd never seen anyone in better health. Never. And I'm going to throw Usain Bolt and, you know, and any professional, Tom Brady. Never seen anyone in better health in his life.
Never.
Never. You know, first of all, I have to kind of question his... I mean, I know what you see on television and all of that, but for some reason, that's like an hour. And granted, yeah, he can rock the crowd, no doubt about it. But, like, as far as actual sustainable work, like, I don't really think he does much of anything. I think he sits around talking and yelling and getting angry at everyone.
Watching Fox News.
But, like, what is actually produced at the end of the day, I think, is...
Nothing.
Probably rather negligible. Like...
Well, Fox News is starting to turn on him.
A little bit. Well, they got rid of... who was that? I don't know the guy's name. He was supposed to be sort of the more voice of reason on Fox News, and he either resigned or quit or was forced out or whatever it was. And I guess he, you know, actually dared call into question some of these statements that Donald Trump makes, which are patently false and everybody knows. And I don't know. Those people on Fox News, I have to give them credit. They will swallow any absurdity and turn it around into, you know, some sort of palatable, I don't like to call it a fact. I don't know. Maybe it sounds like it happened. And their viewers, I don't think, care at all. I mean, they just
love
Trump, and
it's entertainment, is what it is.
I mean, I would like I watch a little bit of MSNBC. I like Chuck Todd, but I do not like a lot of the other people on there. I don't like Joy Reid. I find them like Fox News. They're very smarmy and very like, I'm telling you how everything is. I find that...
Oh, like, and that's what... And people despise that.
I know. I'm like, you're the type of person that, like a middle-of-the-road American who might say, you know, I could vote for Hillary Clinton. They see Rachel Maddow, and it's like, go F yourself. Like, stop being condescending to me and
just stupid. Give me the... Report the facts to me. Like, give me all the information, and then let me form the opinion. And if you have an opinion, you have to frame it in that context, that this is your opinion, not it's based off of the facts, but don't masquerade your opinion as fact.
I find Rachel Maddow, Chris, what's that guy's
name?
Oh,
I can't.
Guy with the glasses.
Yeah, Chris, I know what you're talking about.
Him, Joy Reid, Mika. So there's that show Morning Joe with Mika and Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find the five of them to be exactly the problem. Like, you are a bunch of condescending a-holes. And, like, Joy Reid, it was discovered on her Twitter she had made homophobic slurs. And then she said it was hacked. And then she had to back off that and admit it. And there's been, you know, nothing. Like, nothing about it. Like, oh, okay, well, she can make homophobic slurs. I just can't stand that, like... like I say, I like Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd, he just lays it out, you know, here it is. And I like CNN. CNN, to me, I like Jake Tapper and people like that. I mean, they obviously can't stand Trump. But it's like, you know, like, look, it's not his policies. So, I mean, it is his policies, but it's like... Here are some facts. Like, try to refute that fact. And you listen to the Donald Trump people.
I don't get my news from cable news. I get it from, you know, I do read the Times.
You get it from Reddit. You get it from Twitter.
Facebook.
Well, Twitter. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I do. I do get it from Twitter because I follow, like, the Financial Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal.
And they are not accepting money anymore for political ads.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Facebook is still lapping it up.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg has turned into some sort of I don't know, robot I can't really identify with. And something seems to have happened to that man's psyche. We'll get into his whole cryptocurrency thing. You'll have to explain that to me because I have no idea what he's talking about. But that'll be for another podcast. But yeah, with Donald Trump, I mean, you look at like Trump Steaks failed. Trump Airline failed. Not only did Trump University fail, it was never a university. It was never accredited. And he stole people's money from that. False promises. Nothing ever came to fruition. They were supposed to meet him for a session. He didn't even do that. Trump Vodka failed. I mean, his casinos failed in Atlantic City. It's just, it's amazing how he's able to get where he is off of sheer bluster and bullshit. It's amazing.
That's the impressive part about it. I mean, he's... If the one thing that's successful about Trump, whether you like him or not, or you like his hotels or not, is his brand, like the Trump name. He has a knack for staying in the media and on the tip of people's tongues.
You know, and I hate to be such a prophet of doom. Not that anyone listens to what I say anyway, but... He really seems to be indicative of, like, how our culture is these days. Like, he is the ultimate president for this time. Like, nobody really reads anymore. I shouldn't say nobody, but people who actually sit down and read a book or a magazine or an online newspaper has declined significantly. So, him being on Twitter is really indicative of that. And also... being a brand with no substance to it at all, just a brand with nothing to back it up, no knowledge, no skill, he's a terrible person. It's amazing how people respond to that. And it's
I'm about to break out into the national anthem, Matt.
I know.
You're really stirring my patriotism.
Well, I usually start chanting USA whenever I'm challenged. USA! That's all you have to do. You have to tell people, listen, this is the greatest country on earth, and the Democrats are going to steal all your money and take your guns. And actually, it's usually the guns that get, like, Red America's attention. Yeah,
if there's a whiff of socialism attached to any the front running Democratic candidate, Trump is going to destroy them. Destroy them.
Well, I'd say there's more than a whiff, but I honestly think maybe some people are so and you know, Trump Republicans as well. They took a huge hit on their taxes. The debt is out of control. It's like, what is Trump selling? That,
oh, he's selling a booming economy and how he's gonna, you know, bring jobs in and fight Chinese for us.
There was a woman, it was a couple in Texas, own their own business. For the past 5 or 6 years, this is under Obama. They got a $5,000 tax return. Last year, nothing. They got nothing. And they have a child on the way. And they were really counting on that money. They got nothing. My friend Dave, up here. He's not a Trump supporter or anything. But he used to get, like, in the neighborhood of $1,900, $2,000 back. He got, like, $200 back.
Yeah, I'm getting screwed, too.
So, I mean, what's he selling? Like, to the average American, they don't have health benefits. They're not getting their tax returns. I don't know. I am starting to see, like, kind of cracks in this thing where it's like, honestly, like, why are you voting for this guy? Like, what is he doing for you besides feeding you a bunch of rhetoric?
I mean, the health benefits thing to me it's just insane. I think that if properly done, they could structure it so that it would be because right now we have a system where we have for-profit middlemen. In the healthcare system, I think, you know, the U.S. could institute a one-payer model and be better off for it.
I don't understand why it's so hard to have private health insurance for people who can pay for it and want to. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Harvard Pilgrim, whatever. And the millions of people who can't pay that, and you have a healthcare system for them that they can use. That, well, you know, maybe it costs them, or people could pay $100 a month and get certain, or $200. I don't see, what is so hard about this?
Yeah, they could have supplemental if you want plastic surgery or something. You know, you could get that. For instance, I tore my knee up playing pickup basketball, so I have to get surgery. So I'm sitting down with the surgeon. He's like, okay, this is what it is. The surgery is going to cost somewhere around $50,000, and it's going to take under an hour, right? So he's like, yeah, he's like, the insurance is going to pay for everything. You know, he's not going to get $50,000. He's probably going to get a fraction of that. But there's this device that we're fighting, that the insurance company is questioned about whether it's going to pay for or not. And it's going to prevent a blood clot from forming and shooting to my heart or my brain to give me a stroke or a heart attack.
Right.
And my insurance company doesn't want to pay for it.
Of course they don't. That's their whole business model.
And the solution is, oh, let him take aspirin. What?
Oh my God.
So this, and I have really good health insurance.
Right.
This makes no, like, look, if there's a possibility that I could form a blood clot and could shoot to my brain or my heart, like, I want that piece of equipment that will prevent that. Like, it's very, very simple.
Right.
But I'm gonna take aspirin. Was this 1945?
I know. And I mean, you're a college educated, upper class individual who's fine. I mean, imagine.
Well, that's debatable. College-educated, correct, but...
But, I mean, imagine someone who's working minimum wage and doesn't have a college education. Like, what, you know, they're just... What are they going to do? Nothing. I mean...
Oh, they're screwed.
Lawyer and fight that. They don't even have health insurance. Come up with 50 grand? I mean, Jesus.
No, they would literally... I think they would just wrap their knee up and continue with life. They wouldn't even have access to the doctors that I have access to. That's
right.
What just makes it makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. And even what's crazy about it is even, you know, the people you would think it would be benefiting for, like me, it's not benefiting me.
Right. I remember this woman, you know, they put Obamacare into place, or the Affordable Health Care Act, which the Republicans talk about as, you know, destroying the fabric of our society. Well, there was a woman in Texas. She was getting her chemotherapy treatments and because of the Affordable Care Act. And she said, if they take that away, I can't get my treatments anymore. Well, why are you taking that away from her? I don't understand why you're taking away the access that this woman has for a chemotherapy. For some sort of philosophical reason that we just don't like it. That's it. We don't like it. We don't like socialized medicine.
Well, the whole system would have to change. That's the... So the everybody's in on this money grab, right? The insurance companies, the hospitals, the doctors. The whole system would have to be revamped, and everyone's lobbying for that not to happen. And meanwhile, the patients... Our premiums are going through the roof, and I don't even think like first world countries, we don't even rank in like the top for healthcare. It's ridiculous.
No. And I think it's as simple and as sad as lobbyists are paying public officials, people in Congress, senators, to trash socialized medicine.
Correct.
And that's it. I mean, that's the big elephant in the room that we should have just let off with. It's money that they're paying Senator X in contributions and things like that to. And Senator X doesn't care. It's like, okay, fine. I'll just trash it. I don't know anything about it, but I'll just trash it and get my campaign money. And it's like, and I'm sure Democrats do it too. Like, it's really, really sad. And then meanwhile, people suffer.
And the statistics are, like, every year, over 500,000 people declare bankruptcy because of medical bills.
Yeah.
Countless people die because they can't get the care. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. Well, to bring it back to wrap it up with Donald J. Trump's management style, I could say, has been painted as erratic, inconsistent, myopic, impulsive. Things change from day to day. You know, you can see, like, John Bolton. John Bolton was one of the biggest hawks. I probably wouldn't agree with John Bolton on much, but apparently he is one of the smartest people in Washington. John Kelly, same deal. I mean, the guy was a colonel in the Marine Corps. No, he was higher than that. I'm sorry. He was like a 4-star general or something like that. Can't deal with this guy. And it's, you know, it's one person after another who it's just like,
Based on all that information, Donnie's got my vote for 2020.
That's right. Put it all together, and he's my guy in 2020. He's my guy. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening, and please tune in again. We'll be back at you with more timely and scintillating topics.
Yes, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and please rate and review us and share this with family and friends on social media. Thanks so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.